doesn't it? But you know, God is our creator, He is our sustainer, and He is our healer. Amen? And so we trust God and we walk with God even more closely during times like this. Been welcome at Randy and Maya's house, and this morning Randy and I were up. Maya left early, and there were two loaves of pumpkin bread on the counter. And so we prayed about whether or not we should eat those or not, and we were convinced that God answered prayer and that we should eat those. So Maya, if we weren't supposed to eat those, I'm sorry, but they were good. I tell you, they were good. And pumpkin bread goes with eggs. I didn't know if you knew that or not. It goes with eggs. At South Main, we've been journeying through a series called One Another. And in Scripture, there are nearly 70 one another passages in the New Testament. I don't know if you knew that or not. And if you're reading through the New Testament, I would encourage you to look for the passages that instruct us on how to live life with one another. Be at peace with one another. Wash one another's feet. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above self. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, the Lord understands right now we're not going to obey that command, but we'll get back to it. When you come together, wait for one another. Serve one another in love. Carry each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Well, there are so many, I could go on and on, but today I thought it's timely to talk about Galatians 6, bear one another's burdens, because together we're stronger. And when we're separated out, we're not quite as good. You know, God said in the beginning, it's not good for a man to be alone, right? And so we come together to gain strength, to gain encouragement, together in the Spirit, and sing together and pray together, pray for one another's needs, and we are blessed by that. So if you have your Bibles or your tablets or your phones or whatever it may be, open those up. If not, it'll be on the screen here as well. I'll pick up in verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6, where it says, "Brethren, even if a man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have a reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one shall bear his own load, and let the one who is taught share the word. The one who has taught the word, share all good things with him who teaches." As we look at this passage today, we see the command of Christ to bear one another's burdens. And we say, you know, that is good, isn't it? And how many times in your life has someone come alongside of you in a time when you needed them most? Maybe you were sick, maybe you were unable to take care of things, maybe it was a little financial help or something of that nature, and they helped bear a burden that you had, and it encouraged you by their presence and by their care for your life. And so when we look at verse 2, bear one another's burdens, we say, man, that's easy, preacher, we can go home, amen, and it's a good day, right? We're going to back up just a little bit, because if you journey on down to verse 5, you might be surprised just a little bit. So we're going to shift from sermon to Bible class for just a little bit this morning and look a little closer and peel the scripture open, because in verse 5, it says in my translation, the New American, "For each one shall bear his own load." Well, in verse 2, it said we are to bear one another's burdens. But then we get to verse 5, and it almost sounds like Paul changes his mind here and says, oh, you know, no, we're actually supposed to bear our own load. Well, which is it? Which is it? Let me encourage you, anytime that Scripture is a little bit confusing, it's not a problem with the Word of God. It's a problem with the hearer. And the more we study the Word of God, the more God will clarify and open our eyes to understanding His Word in a fuller way. And so I want to help you out this morning, as others have helped me. In verse 2, there is one word for burden there in the Greek. It's baros, and it is a ship or a wagon that is overloaded. I mean, it is overloaded. And this was used in the ancient times to describe a ship that had too much cargo on it. Now think about that. If a ship has too much cargo on it, it is very likely that ship will not make port again, right? That's a lot more dangerous than too much load on your pickup or in the back of your car in a ship. There are lives at stake. The word for burden or load in verse 5 is actually a different Greek word. And what that word describes is the normal responsibilities of life. So each one shall bear the normal responsibilities of life. We can see kind of maybe a little bit of a picture here. We've got the first word on verse 2 is baros on your left. And then there's a normal load. We're good with that backpack. The normal adult can carry, if they're in good shape, 50, 60 pounds in a backpack, but not 2,000 pounds, right? Sometimes life places 2,000 pounds on us, and we need the family of God to rally around us at that moment and help carry that load. Baros, verse 2. Amen. When we're healthy, when life is good, when I'm able to work, I can take care of my family, I can pay my bills, I can clothe myself, and that is fortion in verse 5. So it helps to understand those so that we understand the Word of God is not in conflict at all, right? Those two go together. There's times in life when it's too much, and there's times in life when things are healthy and good. And think about that. In verse 2, what are those overloading burdens that might show up? As I meditated on that and I thought about all the different members of our church family that I've spent time talking to and that our benevolence ministry has tried to respond to and our health care ministry has tried to check on, these were some of the things that came up. Business stress. We have folks who have lost their job. We have folks whose businesses temporarily or permanently have closed, who've been laid off. We have folks in health crisis. We have folks dealing with grief at a time like this when we can't even have a normal funeral. When we get together and put our arms around each other, we can't grieve and touch each other the way we need to, and that causes a burden. We are lonely. What about marriage problems? That can overload you. Addictions, whether it's gambling, spending, drinking, pick your poison, you know, whatever it may be, it can overload you financially. Maybe you have a wayward child or a wayward grandchild. Maybe you're dealing with mental health issues or a loved one who's dealing with that, and you're trying to walk alongside of them and help bear their burden, but that places some burden on you, right, as well. Maybe you're caring for an aging family member. You yourself may have a disability, or maybe you're in leadership at a time like this, and as Paul and I have been praying and talking together, we kind of just got on the phone and said, what are y'all doing? What are you doing? We shared ideas, and Paul, you helped me. And I've talked to other guys in the ministry, and none of us are getting it perfect. And we're just trying to carefully move forward and create opportunities to minister to one another as best that we can. Maybe you've been abused. Maybe you've been neglected. Maybe you've been shamed by someone. Or maybe you're dealing with financial problems. All of these things can make us feel like that truck we just looked at, where the springs are about to break and we need some help. And that's okay. But let me encourage you in this regard. If you don't ask, we can't respond. If you don't ask and receive some help, then God can't work through other people to bear that burden. God is calling people to your side, but he needs to know what kind of help you need. I love verse 2. It says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. Isn't that interesting? I believe that's the only time in Scripture that phrase ever occurs. And as I looked at that, I thought, well, what is the law of Christ? We know that Christ is light of the world. He's love. He's life. He's the doorway. He's the good shepherd. But what is the law of Christ? Well, in Matthew 22, I know that you remember the gentleman who said, Jesus, which is the greatest command? And Jesus immediately said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind is the greatest and first command. And a second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, right? Jesus gave the bonus round answer. He gave the answer the guy needed, and then he gave the answer, which was putting into action the first command. The first command is the conduit that gives us the love of God, and we love God because he first loved us. And that is what motivates us to bear one another's burdens. What is it that keeps you going in life? What is it that helps you go to work every day? Some of you say, you know, the only reason I go to work is because my family needs to eat. I don't like my job, don't like my boss, and wouldn't be there if I didn't have to. And that's tough, isn't it? But hats off to you for serving God through your job and providing for your family. There are times when we don't enjoy it, we don't like it, but God is providing through you in a way that you are serving God through your job. The same is true with what motivates me to bear the burdens of others. I know when we're in this virus and this pandemic, we can't exactly do that the way we used to, show up, you know, hands-on and hug people and then go in their homes openly and do things together. But we can almost all dial the phone. We can almost all maybe text someone now and then and ask how they're doing. Do you need anything? Can I pick something up and leave it at your door? And we can become a ministry network in connection with each other. In fact, in John 13:35, Jesus says, by this will all people know that you're my disciples. What is that? Your love for one another, right? And maybe that is the royal law that James talks about. The law of Christ is fulfilled through loving others the way God loves us. Love in action. The hands and feet of Jesus. Seeing people with the eyes of Christ. Looking for needs. Looking outside of myself. So thinking about your coworkers, thinking about those who are in your activity groups, thinking about those that you enjoy spending time with, and your neighbors. Do you know your neighbors, the people who live around you? Right now, there are people in crisis in our neighborhoods that have no church home. Some don't believe in God, but it is an opportunity to love people the way Jesus loves people, and to get to know them and to ask them, how can I help you? You know, Galatians itself even says there in verse 10 of chapter 6, while we have the opportunity, let's do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. God's arms are open wide. The doors of the kingdom are open to all people. Agnostics need to be loved. Atheists need to be loved. Muslims need to be loved. Those who are Buddhists and other world religions and are ignorant of Jesus Christ will only come to know him through us being that neighbor who loves them and changes their life. As I was thinking about bearing burdens, I kind of was thinking back to the Old Testament, kind of systematically walking through Genesis and Exodus and moving through the prophets, and I asked myself, where are the examples of this in the Old Testament? And some of you are thinking of some right now, aren't you? Write those down. One I thought of was in Exodus 18. Do you remember when Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, came to town? Wasn't Jethro Bodine, by the way? You know, I can't see the word Jethro without thinking about that, but in Exodus 18, here comes Moses' father-in-law, and he plays his cards right. He brings Moses' wife and the kids, and I'm sure Moses is glad to see all of them. And they get together, and Moses tells Jethro about everything that God did to rescue them out of Egypt, all the plagues and all the journey to that point. And Jethro is so touched by that, he says, we need to worship God. We need to offer sacrifice, and they offer sacrifice to God. And then Jethro begins to watch what Moses is doing, and every day, Moses is taking care of between 2 to 3 million people. I can't imagine that. I live near Fort Worth. I can't take care of Fort Worth, I tell you. There's not enough hours in the day, and Moses is trying to do that. He's meeting with every person who has conflict like a judge and solving their problems from early in the morning till way after dark. And you know what Jethro, his older, wiser father-in-law, says? Now this part, Moses, is not good. That's literally what he says. Moses, you are not doing this right. You are being overburdened. As one of my bosses said, you need to work smarter, not harder. And Moses was not doing the things that would sustain him for the long haul. Think about that for a moment. Are there parts of your life that are that way? And how can you break those out? How can you delegate some things and allow other members of the body of Christ to have the opportunity to serve even you, even if you're healthy and have a job, and you need a little help? You know, it blesses people to allow them to help you. And Moses listened to his father-in-law. So guys, for you that are father-in-laws, hey, here we go. You can tell your son-in-laws you need to read Exodus 18. Moses listened to his father-in-law. I was thinking, too, of a real-life example. My friend Bill from Missouri, he's a good man, good heart, good family. He was one of our deacons when I worked in Joplin, and he opened a place kind of like a dollar store. He had a good location in Webb City on Main Street. It was going great. He was able to make a good living. He was building his business, and then just across Main Street, Walmart began to build a brand new building. And he said the day that Walmart opened, he lost 90% of his customers overnight. Nothing against Walmart. Just part of the business world, right? And poor Bill, he was overburdened. He could not pay his bills. Literally in 2 weeks, he could not in any way pay his bills. He was bankrupt. And he came into a leaders' meeting, an elders' meeting with us, and he said, I guess I just need your prayers, and I just need something. I need some guidance here. He said, I'm about to be, he wasn't about to be, he said, I'm bankrupt. My business is done. I don't know what to do. And so the men gathered around him and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And one of the guys who had run his own business got with him and began to coach him, and they began to network to look for jobs. And lo and behold, Bill exited that. He got another job, and his burden was lifted because other Christian men came alongside him and bore his overloaded burden. And I'll never forget that because He went from looking like this to a big smile. And in fact, one of the last memories I have of him is he was coaching our church softball team and just having a ball. So there are some burdens that can completely beat us down, can't they? It's okay to ask for help. The Spirit of God will begin to move in other people, and He will move them towards you, and it will be an opportunity for them to use their gifts in serving you, and it's amazing what gifts show up. Amen. Think about your leadership. Every one of us, men, women, and children, can be a leader. Young people can be a leader at school. You can be a leader, or you can be a sheep. You can be a follower. You need to be a leader wherever you're at for Christ. People are lost. People are confused. People are downcast. They are without hope, and they are looking for someone who has hope. Amen? And we need to be the people who have hope. We need to be the people, even during this virus, who have a smile on our face and have an opportunity to share with others. Are you a person who is willing to delegate and train others to lead? A lot of times in life, though, when we're not careful, we're much like Moses. We're trying to do something good, but there's a way to do it which is absolutely the best way. And I don't know about your life, but in my life, at times, I've been robbing the best with the good. There's good things, and I have this stack of good things, and then there's this stack of three or four of the absolute most important best things. And if I spend too much time here, I don't hit the ball out of the park here. Amen. So praying to God, asking for good spiritual counsel, leads me back to the absolute best things I need to be doing. Think about that with your family, with your spouse, with your kids. Think about that with your walk with God. Are you where you need to be with your walk with God? Are you spiritually strong and growing? We're never setting still. We're either growing or we're falling back. So I want to pursue God the way He pursues me. And thinking back in life, there were several men and women that I really appreciate. They showed me by their life how to say no to some good things so that they could live in the best things. I'm thinking of a brother named Jeff who was offered a nice promotion and partial ownership of the business. And a large raise came along with that, and he said no because he was about 35 years old and he had two young children in his house who needed to see their dad. And he let that go. Why? And you say, well, are you crazy? You know, you double your salary? He knew that the time would come when the greatest investment would be kids who loved him and might take care of him in his older years, as opposed to a stack of money that may or may not last. And so he said no to what we think is a good thing to say yes to the best. I appreciate examples like that. I know there's some in this room who've done the same thing, and you know people who have done those as well. There are a lot of burdens out there. We've named a few, and you could add to that list. There is one burden that I have to tell you I can't take care of for you. No one can. It is the burden of our sin. My sin is too much for me. Your sin is too much for you. God knew that. Kevin mentioned that in our devotional thought already, that we needed a Savior. We needed a sacrifice that was perfect. We needed Jesus to carry that load. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God, so that guilt and shame could be washed away by the blood of Jesus. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus' invitation includes dealing with burdens. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Don't stop there. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus doesn't call people to sit on the couch. He calls people to get connected with family and pull forward together to share one another's burdens as he takes on the greatest burden of all the world. And he did that at the cross. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Has he taken away your sin? Have you been plunged underneath the water? Is that symbolic burial with Christ, rising up to walk a new life? Have you confessed him as Lord and Savior? If you have, I've got great news for you. Your sins are forgiven. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You've been added to the body of Christ worldwide by Jesus, who's the head of his church. Yeah, it's such an honor, isn't it, to be in the body of Christ, to know that Jesus is the head of this body and that he is working all over the world. You know, I heard recently that missionaries are leaving sub-Saharan Africa and traveling to postmodern Europe to share the gospel. Talk about a flip-flop from the days of Livingston, when they thought Africa is this dark, lost place and Christianity has so permeated sub-Saharan Africa that there's enough Christians that when they go to school and go to Europe and go to start businesses, they're planting churches and leading people back to Christ who've been lost in dark and lost Europe, who's forgotten about God and has empty cathedrals all over the place. Isn't that interesting? It's encouraging. The church in China is growing by the tens of thousands in the underground, illegal churches that are meeting and worshiping God. And you think about China being maybe one of our worst physical enemies, but maybe God has already planted some special ops who are spiritually sabotaging Satan's work and leading people into the kingdom of God. Because I have to tell you, there's not enough bombs to wipe out evil. They need the gospel. Today, if you would, just pray for all of those who are lonely. Pray for all those who are searching for jobs. Think through. I would encourage you, one of the things we've challenged our congregation to do is take out your directory, whether it's on your phone or in paper form, and walk through. And look at those names and think about the people you've seen, the people you haven't seen, the people you've heard are sick, the people who aren't, and check on systematically people that you don't see. What a blessing to get those calls or send a card as it may be fitting. Maybe most of all today, if you need prayer, we want to lighten your burden. We want to pray for you. If you haven't become a Christian, you still have that burden of sin and guilt, and all that can be lifted today. The baptistry is warm, I hope. If it's not, we're going to baptize you anyway. I survived it. December 13th, it was freezing cold. Concrete baptistry with no heat. That's how you know you got the Spirit of God. You come up out of there, whoo, you know. This can be your day. We want to encourage you today. We're going to get through this together as a family of God. And if you need Jesus Christ, won't you come while together we stand and sing?
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me. How I love him. And he is risen. He is coming. Lord, come quickly. Hallelujah. What a friend we have in Jesus. say, reach to bear.